You're listening to SBS News.
Sarai Barraman's journey to the highest position in women's football began in 2008 when she was on a holiday in Samoa. At the time, she had just left a 10-year career in the banking and finance industry in New Zealand and was looking for a new challenge.
I was on a trip to my mother's country, Samoa, so I'm half Samoan. And while I was there, there was a job advertised for the financial management of the Football Federation. So I kind of thought, this is an incredible moment. I'm obviously good in finance. I've been in that industry for 10 years. I love football. I love playing the sport. So I thought, I'm going to chuck my hat in the ring.
The Kiwi was appointed as the finance manager for the Football Federation of Samoa and was soon promoted to CEO. She stayed in that role for 6 years and played an instrumental part in rebuilding the sport in the country. In 2013, she made a powerful speech at the Pacific Youth and Sports Conference in Noumea and spoke about her experiences as a female leader in a male-dominated industry. From there, she became a prominent figure in the Pacific sporting landscape and 2 years later joined FIFA's Reforms Committee as the only female member following a string of scandals from the governing body.
The face of football really is changing. It is traditionally a male-dominated sport, but there are more and more people like me who are involved at the highest level in FIFA, in our confederations and in our member associations as well. Things are really, really changing in the sport, and the progress is incredible to see and incredible to be part of.
Barraman now oversees women's football for FIFA and its 211 member associations, and she hopes it will inspire others to follow in her footsteps.
If I can be in this position in FIFA, I never dreamed in my wildest dreams it would be possible. Anything is possible for other women and girls from our region.
She hopes next year's World Cup will inspire all nations, including poorer countries, to invest in the women's game, just like it did for the president of Morocco's Football Federation after attending the 2019 final.
In France in 2019, the president of Morocco was at the final. He saw it. It was huge. The stadium was full. The atmosphere was incredible. Obviously, the game was incredible. And he was totally blown away by this moment in France at the Women's World Cup. He went back to Morocco off the back of that and said, right, we need to invest here. We've got to do something because women's football is absolutely massive. And he did. He invested in a big, big way. And as a result of that, Morocco are now one of our debutante teams that have qualified for the Women's World Cup next year.
The Women's World Cup in France in 2019 reached more than 1 billion spectators in 205 countries worldwide, and it's been described as a landmark year for women's football.
It definitely provides an accelerator, there's no doubt about that, and we saw that in France in 2019. You know, in every facet of the game, there were huge amounts of growth after France. You know, participation, England is a good example. 850,000 more women and girls laced up their boots after that tournament just because of the momentum and the effect that having that World Cup had in Europe. We saw commercial deals being signed, you know, individual player endorsements for record amounts. There were sponsors coming into leagues and national team shirt sponsors, things that we had never seen prior to France in 2019. It's an incredible moment, and I guess the main message for me and for FIFA and for everybody is that you've got to be ready to leverage that and to make sure that you can make the most of that moment.
That is something the Asia-Pacific hopes to grasp next year when Australia and New Zealand co-host the FIFA Women's World Cup in July. The tournament will debut an expanded format of 32 teams up from 24, and it's Barraman's hope that it will revolutionise women's football in the Asia-Pacific region.
You know, it's this big moment that we have once every 4 years to showcase our athletes, to showcase our sport, to showcase all the unique and incredible values that come in and around the women's game, and to basically create that new fan base and that groundswell of interest to follow. Now, in the Pacific region, there's usually one slot to the World Cup, And typically that normally would always go to New Zealand. New Zealand are the host country, so they'll get a slot anyway. So for the first time ever through this playoff tournament, another team from Oceania will have an opportunity to qualify for a World Cup. Now the impact that that has in the countries around the Pacific is absolutely massive.
29 teams have qualified for the World Cup, with the final three spots to be decided at a playoff tournament next February. And one of the nations still with the chance to qualify is Papua New Guinea.
To have a Pacific team at a World Cup is going to be an absolute dream for so many of the young girls around our region. For them to be able to see someone that looks like them, that comes from the same place as them, actually playing on the world stage, I mean, that for me is a dream come true for so many of those young girls.
Danielle Robertson, SBS News.